Blog Talk Radio.
Because you never know what life is gonna take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now, looking at 30, and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody. I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I preach the fork in the road of my life. Ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide to be the best that I can be.
I choose
to be authentic in everything. Painful things I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes.
put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm driving these bags, I'm making room for my joy.
Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of New Knowledge Radio. Place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Alive. This is our Melanated Magic Monday episode. And we are honored and privileged to be joined by the warrior mind of a sister. Our sister, who is, in my opinion, the epitome of the mother of the revolution. I speak of none other than our sister and comrade, Queen Lex. She, that phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It's been a long-awaited, highly anticipated discussion we're going to have today on Do the Knowledge Radio. So without any further ado, it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some present to others. Our sister and the mother of the revolution, Sister Queen Lex Chi, is in the building. Let me get these bombs together for my sister. Queen Lex.
Black power, black love, black everything.
Honor to be on the
show. Go ahead, Queen Lex. I was just saying peace, love, and black power to everybody. I thank you for having me on the show.
All right. I can't hear you, sis.
Oh, no, I said I appreciate everybody who's tuning in also.
All right. You know, this my sister. This our Philly RBG All-Star. So, you know, when Philly got the Philly RBG All-Star, it started with Queen Lex right here. So if y'all got some questions, y'all got some comments, y'all got some shout outs, you know what I'm saying? 929-477-1755. And let me give Philly some love. Y'all got love. Philly got love because of Queen Lex. So let me get my Philly stuff right here. All right.
Philly Siegel. Philly is where I'm from.
We from PHILA period. Period.
Y'all see that right there, all right? You know? Cousin Queen Lex, that's why Philly got that love. I had to dig in my crates and find something to shout out Philly because my sister and the Philly RBG All-Stars done gave me so much love on this platform, so much support and everything, that I was like, let me get something back to Philly. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, my sister was the catalyst for all of that. So, you know, she ain't no newbie to this platform. We go back like 3 years, you see what I'm saying? But this is the first time I got it by myself over here. You understand what I'm saying? So let me take this opportunity to allow you the opportunity to introduce yourself to the platform to those who may not be aware of you.
Well, no, I'm Lex T, Philly born and raised, mother of two children, 12-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. Really, they call me the RBG chef out here because I'm at most of the RBG events, and I've been my Caribbean soul. What else?
All right.
I've kind of dabbled in a lot of black movement all over Philadelphia. But to serve stuff, so I'm always looking to connect with new people on things like that. Promoter of black businesses, black everything. I try to keep this like as much as I can. I teach my children. What else?
All right, well, we know what else, so we're about to get into what else. Something I started here ever since I received this book from esteemed warrior elder Baba Nwali Kabamani Baruti, this Inya Sasim, a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. So today is January 21st. I just want to take a second, and I tell you, the ancestors and the creator be on time all the time, because if this ain't Lex, I don't know who this is right here. It says, if you must bleed, let it come all at once. Rather die freedmen than live to be slaves. That was Henry Highland Garnet. A jinga by the name of Kamal Arkin Bone encapsulated the slow and somatic death of many Africans who had fully internalized slave mentality, commit against themselves in the term subtle suicide. Simply put, subtle or durational suicide is a process where severely oppressed individuals too afraid of death to immediately end their own lives and those of their oppressors resort to engaging in practices which are destructive to their minds and bodies and are destined to eventually kill them. Whether consciously or not, they develop and mature habits and addictions such as drugs and alcohol, excessive, unsafe, and confused sex, gluttonous diets of salt and sugar, and idleness that allows their brain and body to bloat and atrophy from doing little more than watching the idiot box where I laid out on the couch. With time, any and all of these self-administered poisons will give those ignorant of self or afraid of being who they are what they want, a permanent way out of their responsibility to their people and out of this insanity. Suicide, subtle or otherwise, is not an option for warriors. For those fully conscious of being at war and cognizant of their responsibility to their people, suffering in it, it is unacceptable. K.
cowardly act committed not against oneself, but against our people. And this warrior affirmation says, I live as a warrior and I will die as a warrior. So we dedicate this to our sister Queen Lex on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday today. So that's our warrior affirmation. And we got a warrior sister right here, live in the flesh. So we're celebrating her as well, our mother of revolution. So make sure y'all go to the Ackerman House, www.ackermanhouse, and get this book in y'all Sassine, Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts by Baruti and y'all. Baruti have got together and wrote over 21 books, 20 years of African Senate homeschool education at the Ackerman Institute. So they were training and gearing up our future warriors for this war effort. So make sure you go and support our esteemed elders who have sacrificed much of their adult life to bring us this information and also to teach our young Watotos who they are and gear them up in the way that they should go as warriors. So Queen Lex, if that ain't you, I don't know who it is. You understand what I'm saying? And you are not only the mother of our revolution, you are the mother of two young revolutionary warriors who inspired my heart so many years ago. I seen y'all out in Black Power Island. I seen the babies out there with the RBG flags, you know. How did you get started on your revolutionary journey? Can we get the Queen Lex story?
Well, growing up, I always was a person who I listened very intently and to what people say. And in school was one of the things that really had me listening to what was happening to Black people at a young age. And I kind of think we all go through that process as we're early in those brick buildings. You feel some type of way about the stuff that you're learning about your people. So I felt that I was, you know, it hurt me to my heart that our people were suffering things that they were suffering, and also that we were never told about the positive accomplishments and stuff for in 30 days, not even 30 days, time period. So in institutionalized education, you only essentially learn 1 year of Black education if you don't study outside of what the educational construct is teaching you. You get 13 years of white education and 1 year of Black education behind those walls in school. So that always was a concern to me. I always was a researcher and stuff that I wanted to know. So after school, I can remember back as early as 5, 6 years old, just going off and reading things on my own. So that really helped me develop love for our people. And also, I do have relatives that are that were in the fight. My grandmother marched with Dr. Martin Luther King, which I'm so, you don't know how honored I am to be getting this call, even though we know that Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is January 15th, is being celebrated today. So to be able to be on this platform just because of that, it's touching to me because my grandma was somebody who actually marched with him. Also, Shirley Chisholm married my uncle. My last name is Chisholm, my dad's brother. My grandpa's brother, I'm sorry, my grandfather's brother married Shirley Chisholm. So it's just always been close. Bill Cosby is my great-grandmother's cousin. Now, I don't really know him, but I know growing up, like, he had a lot of inspiration going on in the Black neighborhood with the educational things that was going on television, like the Fat Albert shows and the, I think it was called Pictogram or something like that, the other show he, but just having that, I had a lot of inspiration. And growing up in a Black family, in a Black community that was tight-knit, was more inspiration. I was in Philadelphia until I was about 12. And within that time frame, the neighborhoods that I live in, we had crime and things, but we had more Black unity than we had crime, and we had control because a lot of our families were big and we were all close-knit. So, like, the center radius of my house was, I would say, 20 cousins of mine that we all grew up together. So we had our aunts and our uncles, we had our grandparents, we had our great-grandparents, and then our family also had children young, so we were close to our elders. A lot of people I know don't know their elders. I grew up with my great-great-grandmother in the picture. So I had great-great-grandmother, great-grandmother, and grandmother in the picture. So my revolutionary spirit is coming from a lot of different things. Ultimately, it's just love, all-around love for our people and wanting to see us progress and do better. And that's just how I felt at a young age. Those fires were sparked in me from a young age. It was a cross between love for our people and being angry for our people for the things that we were going through. So I'm going to die wanting change, even when change is being created. I'm going to want change for the better for our people all around the board. So that's where it comes from.
Now, did I make this up, family? I did not make it up, okay? You see how the Creator works, how the ancestors work. Everything set in motion at a particular day, at a particular time right here for us to be here, for us to hear from our mother of revolution, Queen Lex, in the building, 929-477-1755. Y'all heard the warrior's affirmation. Y'all heard our queen mother's warrior affirmation right here. So many gifts, so many talents, so many skills. I didn't get the chance to add in RBG Chef to the repertoire, but we got it here. You understand what I'm saying? And it's the truth, you know. So our sister Queen Lex has weaponized one of her many talents to be able to be a point of reference and a point of refuge, along with a point of empowerment for our communities and also for people in particular. Can we talk about your Help for Home Foundation? I remember, you know what I'm saying? I know I bought some plates, even though I ain't never get a chance to eat the food. You understand what I'm saying? I bought a couple plates, you know, over the years in support of the spirit of service and the spirit of entrepreneurialism that you possess. So can you talk about some of your ventures?
Well, before I start that, I just have to say thank you, because that's just something I always think of. It's just like to have someone who barely knows you from so far away and can have faith in you and believe in you and believe in the work that you're trying to accomplish, and have them reach out and donate and be a part of the change. I appreciate that, and I will always forever appreciate the fact that you did that the way that you did that. The Help for Home Foundation, in 2014, I looked around my house, and I had a bunch of stuff, brand new things that I weren't using. And it's because I used to find places that was about to close, and I used to go sell the stuff online and at flea markets. So I would buy things at, like, under wholesale price in bulk and just go back and resell them. So I ended up with all this stuff, and then I was just like, wow, I started to see the need in the community and start hearing the cries of people in the community. And I was like, well, I can do this, and I can supply the people with this stuff. I can afford to do that. I can go sell some stuff at the flea market. I can go back, buy some more, and, you know, give it away to the people for free that need it. So that's how that started. I used to set up on Aramingo Avenue in Philly, right by the old Kmart. Everybody in Philly knows where that is. And I used to have, like, six tables out of free stuff to sign things. A year into that, I was introduced to the UNIA. Well, first I was introduced to Ron Green, so shout out to Ron Green. I saw one of his T-shirts online, and I was like, man, I need that shirt. It said Hella Black, Hella Proud, and that's who I've always been. And it was like, wow, we have a T-shirt.
Right.
Yeah, I need this shirt. So a friend of mine, Ross King, who's a rapper, he's a positive rapper in the Philly community, he introduced me to Ron Green. I got the shirt off of Ron Green, and when I talked to him about coming to get the shirt, he said, it's the Black Power headquarters where you're coming. So I was like, what? So I was like, we have a Black Power headquarters? So we got to talking, and he was like, come out to Broad and Gerard and come to RBG Friday. And so I went to RBG Friday, and from that point on, I've met so many people. Thanks to those connects, I've met so many people in so many different organizations who was on the same tip I was on at the Help the Home Foundation, like service in the community. And it turned in not only giving things away, but cleaning up the neighborhood, empowering people mentally and emotionally so that they know that there are positive groups of Black people out here that are unified, that are here to build and here to help. And it turned into meeting you. It turned into meeting you, Eric, Detroit. It turned into doing water mission and giving away food and clothing and everything. It just turned into us doing a big group of people doing for stuff. So I actually dropped the Help the Home Foundation because I'm like, these things already are happening. I might as well join a group of people that's doing what I'm already doing. So I actually dropped the name. And that's basically what we were doing. So, And the Black Cancer Party, I joined the Revolutionary Black Cancer Party in 2016, I believe. We did community seatings every Saturday. So during the week, I think our meeting was Wednesday, we went around and we got people.
You and your twin sister, right?
Who's my twin?
Hanifa.
Yeah, so. That's my baby.
I gotta give her a shout out. Your interview. I gave you a shout out on her interview, so I'm like, yeah, you know.
No, we haven't really considered ourselves twins, but like that's my baby, and I'm her baby. You know what I mean? Like
right.
We call each other
right.
Wife. We call each other. We just connected. We just clicked. As soon as we heard each other's mission, we just clicked. So. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I still, even though I dropped the name, it's still working. To talk right now to do a fundraiser. I don't know if I could disclose the name who we're doing a fundraiser for just yet, but we're doing a fundraiser for one of our revolutionaries that is in need of some help right now. So the work is still being done.
Right. Right. As always, as usual, you know what I'm saying? All of the work, all of the sacrifices, the, you know, the life improvement that you've been able to help provide and help facilitate, you know. I know RBG Friday is just in the air, you know. Kind of set a precedent. You see what I'm saying? I got one of the greatest gifts I could receive from What's Up African, from RBG Fridays, from, you know, our brother Ron Green, from yourself, Dr. Kunti. We had the Black Love and Communication series on here for a year, and we were able to, you know, help our people help themselves in the way of communication. So, you know, that's a gift that I could, you know, never, ever thank y'all enough for, you know, Dr. Kunti, you know, you, KLX, you see what I'm saying? Everybody from the All-Stars from Philly, the RBG All-Stars from Philly, you see what I'm saying? So I think that was a very, very enlightening and thought-provoking series, and, you know, sort of like my rebirth or reemergence, if you will, on to the platform to speak of revolutionary love in a way where our communications could be received. So I wanted to talk to you about your spiritual journey, your enlightenment period, your path into, you know, consciousness, if you could share that with us.
Well, growing up, my grandparents always took me to the Baptist church. At about, I would say, 10, my half of my family, maybe a quarter of my family, had converted to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was on that part. I was on that side. And the other quarter of my family converted to Islam. The other half was still in the Baptist church. So I grew up, I would say, like I said, to 10 as a Baptist, and from 10 to on and off to about 25, I was studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. I never officially joined, but I was in there, so I might as well have joined. After that, questions that I've been asking over the years to these places could never be answered. Such as, you know, we can prove that man has made these concepts and theologies, but can we prove that we were made by the entity that you're saying? Also, the biggest question is, what were our ancestors doing before we were captive? And those questions could never be answered. And so once I saw the dividing line in my family and seeing the effects of what these things did, I had to drop all religion. Because to where my great-grandmother had it in my early life, we were all in one place all the time. We were all together all the time. And once the children grew up into adults and converted to these different religions, we were no longer allowed to associate with each other to that magnitude just because of the religion. So what really broke me after I started asking these questions in more depth is I started watching Hebrew Israelite videos. Now, I always believed that Jehovah's Witnesses was like one of the sharpest people I've ever seen with that Bible at the time. But when I saw the Hebrew Israelites, I was like, wow, these people are really educated with this Bible. Like, they can cite the Bible backwards. Now, I don't necessarily believe in their some of their philosophies, but they know that Bible. They study that Bible. So I was like, Jehovah's Witnesses is no longer for me. And then I started questioning their philosophy. Like I said, the part that nobody could ever answer is what we did before this Bible got here. So that's the only thing that keeps me from submitting to any type of religious type of thing. But spiritually now is a different question. I really try to allow myself to be guided by love, and that's just basically it. I feel like if under any banner that you want to come up with, if it's making you a better person, if you feel comfortable within yourself, if you're able to love people no matter what under your banner, then we wouldn't have any problems. So I can't religiously commit to anything, but spiritually, my spiritual guide is, I'm very educated and directed by our ancestors in the way that we've been community and guided and just a natural way of living, to me, is the most spiritual thing that we could do to help ourselves.
So are you involved in any particular African spiritual practice, African traditional religion, or anything like that?
No, I'm not a part of any religion at all. African practice, if we could really have it to where if we could have it to its magnitude, I would be all for it. And I think African things happen naturally. Like when I look at the Inca people, or I look at the people who have never been colonized by anybody. They've just been there with themselves. You can see the natural order of stuff and how things naturally are. And I feel like if we live like that, a lot of these problems that we have will be solved. People are confused if there's no order. Our village is missing. We're missing that village life. So without all these things that a lot of people like to call it mind control, but I don't want to call it that. Different paths, that's what I want to say. Different paths allow us to unify the way that we can unify. I think the missing element of it all, like I said before, is just love. Like, if you could love everybody, no matter what they study, no matter what their religious text is, that's the only spiritual answer that I could give you. But they make it very hard because I'm going to speak for Jehovah's Witnesses. It's like you're not allowed to associate with anybody else who's not a Jehovah's Witness.
Hmm.
When we were in church, there is, you know, you're not supposed to associate people with who are not of that sect of church. Like, if you're not a Baptist or if you don't study the same Bible we're studying, you're not supposed to associate with these people. I've heard people that study, I've never studied Islam, but I've heard people from Islamic faith say similar things. So it's just like, it's not teaching you to love everybody no matter what they are, is just teaching you to just stay within your people who are along the same spiritual path.
Right, right.
So I'm just saying we should respect each other's path. And I think the golden rule is an important thing. It's just don't do to people that you don't want them to do to you. So living like that, and love for our people, if we just had those elements, communication, respect, and love, would solve all of our problems. If I could just accept you for what you do and who you are, as long as you're not hurting anybody, it's working for you and it's making you progress, and that should be fine with me. I should want you to do that.
All right. Family, if you have a question, you have a comment, you got some acknowledgement, you got a shout out for our sister Queen Lex, that phone number to call in 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your question, press 1 with your comment, and you can have you on the line. So if you want to give a shout out, press 1 and we let you give a shout out to Queen Lex, ask a question. Ask a comment, because I ain't about to get in all into a business. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so.
Hey, I don't mind. I don't mind.
We have
a very long time, so, you know.
Right.
I remember when, you know, we should talk a lot and talk about a lot of things that was going on with us. So,
that's right.
I don't mind. I don't really mind.
It's all love. We do got a caller calling in from the 215, area code 215-459. Peace. On live through Knowledge Radio with our sister Queen Lex. Tell us your name. Got a question or comment?
Peace. My name is Francis.
Peace, Francis. What's going on?
Peace. Love. Peace and love. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, man?
What's up?
I just came to show you some love because I know you're always doing some great things in Philadelphia. So I figured I might as well show you some love and tell you that I always appreciate you for everything. Even when some of the times that I had some unique time, you was a person I could talk to. So I wanted to show you my appreciation.
Oh, that's cool. I thank you for that. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for saying that. I really didn't even remember that, Francis. It's just, you were one of the people that I immediately connected with when I met. I felt your spirit, and your spirit hasn't changed since day one. So I appreciate it. And you know what? At the most, important moment. I get a call from Francis. And you shocked me on my birthday. I don't celebrate birthdays, so, you know, most people don't reach out to me. But Francis had called me on my birthday last year. And I'm sorry, not last year. I keep forgetting that it's 2019 now. 2017. I've been thinking about you. I just wanted to say peace. Happy birthday. And I was like, what? Francis? So that really had made my day. And so here he is calling me again. And I appreciate that light that you always give me. You always got positive things to say. And I appreciate that.
No problem. Keep doing what you're doing.
Look at that Philly love. You see that? You see that right there? Got that Philly love. That's that Philly John right there. You see what I'm saying? That's the John right there. That's that Philly John right there. Shout out to you, friends, man. I know you had called in a couple of times while we were doing the series as well back in the day, so I just wanted to shout you out. Philly got us over the hump. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know. Tamia came in here and she brought like the whole army with everybody with her. You understand what I'm saying? Moms, pops, brother, you understand? Philly,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, yo, it changed the landscape and the face of the platform. And this is another example to dispel the myths and the rumors that, you know, brothers and sisters have this, you know, invisible gender war. You understand what I'm saying? That's perpetuated virtually. You see what I'm saying? Almost like a virus to infect the minds and hearts of our people. But we know that there's places, that there's way stations along the way. If you know what Philly meant to our ancestors, Philly meant freedom. You understand what I'm saying? Baltimore meant freedom. You see what I'm saying? D.C. meant freedom. You see what I'm saying? So the way stations along the way, it meant that you were headed to a new life, to a better life. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the true essence of the city of brotherly love. You understand what I'm saying? Not the distorted story that they're talking about. You see what I'm saying? There's a way station along the way to where, you know, you're going to get love. If you come in love, you're going to get love. But if you come another way, Philly got another way of showing you some love if you got that other kind of love with you, too. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, respect due to you, Francis. You know what I'm saying? Peace and black power to you for calling in and showing that good Philly love, that Philly John right there. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, Francis got a whole another kind of love though. He's different. He has this shirt, Get Live, or this. Not, I don't want to just call it a shirt because that's like, for lack of better words, not giving it their appreciation, but there's a story behind a movement that Francis had came up with called Get Live. And if he may he talk about it just a little bit.
Get busy, Francis. You know what we do here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, so the T-shirt, like Lex stated, it's called Get Live. It stands for gaining energy to lead in vision and victory every day. I have since created a company to house this shirt. The company as well is called Leading in Vision and Victory, Everyday Loving Yourself. Because I feel like everybody has a purpose. I feel that, you know, life is meant to be lived in that purpose so that you can have a great life experience, and as well be an experience to others around you. And I feel like anytime we are not within that purpose, we're not feeling fulfilled. Like, that's the reason why people, you know, look for love for other people. That's the reason why, you know, we seek love and everything else but within ourselves, because we don't feel fulfilled. It's fulfillment that we're looking for. It's love that we're looking for. But all that comes from purpose, in my opinion. And I've seen a lot of my friends pass away because they didn't feel full in themselves before they was able to find that fullness in another. Because I always believe if you're not fulfilled in yourself, then you cannot help somebody else be full either. So, I mean, every day is peaks and pits, but if you're in purpose, you'll definitely have a day where you find victory in it every day, and you'll be able to be fulfilled in yourself. You'll be able to love yourself. You'll be able to lead yourself. And especially as men, if you're not leading in yourself, how can you lead that woman that you want to love and create a family with? If you're a woman and you're not loving and leading yourself, how can you, you know, lead the household in that nature, or even do any of the other things you want to do? Like, I feel like purpose is where everybody looks for that fulfillment, that love. But, you know, we settle for other things. We settle for work. we settle for work. We settle for, you know, half behind relationships. We settle for the turn up, going to the club and stuff like that. I mean, all the things are cool, but, like, you still got to be fully yourself when you're doing any of those things. And that's how you really have that experience. That's why when people, you know, finally get to a place where they can travel, they feel another happiness from just traveling around your city. Like, I've gotten to travel around Philly, and I got to learn Philly. The more I got to, you know, travel around Philly, the more I love my city, you know, because a lot of times people say, oh, there's nothing in Philly, but in my travels in the city, I found that there's more in Philly that people don't get to see. And I've even gotten to see that when I, you know, left Philly for a year and was in D.C. or when my mom would, you know, push me to New York, or my mom would send me to Minnesota or send me to other places in the continental U.S. And now, once I finish my degree and launch my website, I'll be traveling outside of the U.S. so I can, you know, have another experience and, you know, get to showcase what I'm really talking about with my shirts and my company overall. So, yeah, that's the overall nature of that.
All right.
I was going to say previously that, you know, when I started discovering African-centered things in Philadelphia, I was insulted and I was shocked at the same time. I was in love with it. But it was just like, I'm born and raised in Philadelphia and didn't know we had so much African-centered stuff going on. It's like, how dare we hold this to ourselves? How dare we not share? I appreciate the people that are around me because, I can tell you, and this is not an exaggeration, 90% of them are either living an African-centered life or trying to. And it's amazing how much is out here and we just don't know.
Like I've told you many times, like I feel like, so it goes back to my backstory. So I was born here, not in Philadelphia, but in North Carolina. And I was born in 1990. 1990 was the start of the Liberian War. So ever since then, like, I've always felt like it's my purpose to live on this bridge. I've always felt like my purpose, and, you know, I don't believe in, you know, me being African-American or me just being African. Like, I feel like all of it's African. I feel like we're meant to be united. And I feel like with anything I do, I feel like I am supposed to create a bridge so that people, each side can understand each other's conditioning. That's the problem. We have a conditioning. And there's issues that's, you know, deeply rooted that, you know, we don't have the conversation that leads to a solution. I feel like the biggest issue with black people is we love black concept, but we don't like black execution unless somebody else is saying it, unless somebody else approves it, unless somebody else is loving you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we were all a part of RBG Friday, we would speak of black love. We had a black love day, you know. And we still have a Black Love Day. Lex still does things with Black Love Day, you know. But, like, that wasn't spoken the way Black Love is spoken now. It wasn't saying stay woke and all these other things that people are saying now. People weren't really saying it.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't saying that stuff. It wasn't cool to say them things. When we were on the corner saying it, people would be like, man, get off the corner. Now it's like, now when you look on TV now, you know, every time you look at another reality show, there's some references, reference to Nigeria and Nigerians and Africa this and Black Love this and stay woke and And now you see people rocking Onks now. Like, when were people wearing Onks now and it was looking cool? But now it's cool, you know? And, you know, I feel like the biggest thing that, the biggest issue with black people for me is that, you know, no matter what belief, because I feel like belief is supposed to be your own personal God. It's not supposed to be like, oh, we all got to be one way. Because I'm African, and the way, even within my own people, like the Liberians, like there's different forms of Liberians. Like there's different tribes. So how can I dare say there's only one way to be Liberian? So, like, even when I look into other countries in Africa, you know, those places have different tribes too. So how dare I say there's one way to be Nigerian? How dare I say there's one way to be South African? You know, so how dare we say that there's one way to be African? And I feel like that's the biggest issue. When people, you know, start saying that they're, you know, they're waking up or whatever, they decide that they want to be one way. And then it becomes an issue where it's now a conscious knowledge debate. Whereas, in essence, we're supposed to be using that knowledge to, you know, bridge, to build bridges and not to build walls. I mean, we're already dealing with somebody who want to build a wall now. So, like, why are we building a wall to each other? Like, I've stated it many times on different stuff on social media. Like, you know, I really hate the gender war, you know, that everybody, the narrative that everybody lives for that. You know, there is issues between black men and women. There is a part of us we don't really like to acknowledge. But, you know, if we keep speaking and healing, women, but we always speak, if we keep saying we want to heal, but all we speak of is anger, when does the healing happen? Like, yes, we're supposed to acknowledge the issue, but, like, you acknowledge problem and then you create solution. You don't acknowledge problem and then keep saying, like, oh, my God, this is our problem. Oh, my God, this is our problem. Oh, my God, we can't connect. We can't connect. Then solution will never be found. Same thing with the young and the old of black people. You know, young people got ideas, too. Like, and that's why I say, like, when I hear people say I'm for the black man, woman, and child, you know, I feel like when black men and black women are having this argument, you know, this narrative that a lot of people hold on to, you know, the black child gets ignored.
That's right.
What about the black child's ideas? Because, I mean, like, I'm trying to tell people, like, when you talk to children, they'll tell you something. When you have children around the right set of people, you'll hear them speak to you in a different fashion. I've heard children who sound like they're older than me. Those old soul type of kids. And, you know, you'll be like, Dad, like, where did you get all this information from? You know, and they'll be telling me, my family members, you know, I have older family members who I'm always around, or they read books. But those ideas that they have, you know, they get ignored because, you know, they got to be the future. That's why I hate the term, you know, black women are the future, children are the future. Why can't they be now? Why can't they be in the present? Why do they have to wait to execute later? Why can't they execute? Why can't we help execute their ideas now? Because I feel like the more that we ignore the black children, we ignore black women, the idea of black unity will never happen on a big scale. Not saying that black unity isn't happening on small scales in different areas, because it is. But for me, that's an overarching idea that I feel like, you know, young and old need to appreciate each other. It needs to be a rite of passage between the two. And the same thing needs to happen amongst, you know, black men and black women and black children, you know, so that unity happens, you know. But I feel like a lot of things that we need to be doing does not need to be stated on social media. I feel like, yeah, we can have conversation, but a lot of these harsher conversations that people be wanting to have online, it don't really go anywhere, and it becomes really negative. And, you know, it puts a really damper on people's spirit. And it's like, well, damn, what do I need to be fighting for if, you know, if people just feel this way, if this is the only way they feel, if all they feel like all we're going to live with is problems, then we're never going to have a solution. I go down my timeline today. I can tell you there's probably black women saying, you know, I'm afraid of the black man. And, you know, initially when I, you know, started seeing it, I used to be like, dang, like, I hate being a man, you know. Like, how can I help these black women if, you know, they just hate me? What can I do? Should I even continue doing what I'm doing? You know, it's pointless now at this point. That's how I used to feel. But, you know, I've come from a strong space of, you know, belief that, you know, and because of the way I was raised, you know, I used to always challenge any religion I was a part of anyway. I used to go to Catholic school. I used to go to Baptist school. I used to go to Episcopalian school. So I know about these different Christian religions. And I have family members who are of the Islamic faith. I've had, you know, been around people who are of other different faiths. And, you know, it's always made me challenge the way people think, because I feel like, you know, everybody else is cool in their beliefs. But it's like black people, we're trying to live to this idea that there's one way to believe. There's one way to be in terms of us. And that's why we're not going nowhere. We have to understand there's millions of ways for us to be. African
exactly.
is not, being African is not, you know, just, even the term African, that's speaking to a landmass. But, you know, for me, I've reverted it to being, it's my lifestyle. And like I used to always say, I used to say this around Lex and them when we used to be in RBG Friday, I'm African because I'm African. Like, they would ask me some things, and I would always be like, because I'm African.
Right.
I would say, I'm handsome because I'm African. I'm smart because I'm African. Because, like, I feel like I have this great sense, this great proudness in being African. It's a lifestyle for me. It's life for me. It's not just, you know, speaking to the landmass. It's not just, you know, to be cool, because, you know, in Philly, there's a time where I was coming up that we called it the booty scratcher era. And,
yeah.
You know, when I was coming up, you know, in Philly, you know, if you was African, you were fighting. You would be fighting African-Americans every day going to school. Africans would be getting jumped by African-Americans. Africans would jump African-Americans. So it was like a seesaw battle. And, you know, of course, my cousins who came over, you know, because some of my cousins weren't born in America. Some of them were born overseas and came, you know. So a lot of them have bitter taste in terms of speaking of African-Americans. But for me, I have African-American friends who have been here for me, you know, so it's like they're African to me. Like, I don't even acknowledge the fact that they're American. They're just African to me, you know. Yeah, they were Africans born in America, but they're African. So, you know, and there's been, and like, so I don't never allow people to speak around me in terms of if you say you're just strictly African and you're speaking on African Americans, I do not allow that. That's why when I'm even in my own household, I do not allow some of the things that some of my family members say about African Americans, because it's not true. I have many African American friends who defended me and, you know, or been in my corner. A lot of the friends I've had over the years have been African American. You know, there was a time where I wasn't always around Africans, but there was a time I wasn't around African-Americans either. And I've always respected both sides as, in my eyes, to be one. So when I use these things, I use them because, you know, for social talk. But in my mind, we're all one. We just got to acknowledge the differences that people that we have, but really see the similarities that we have, because there are a lot more similarities than there are differences. And it's just the way that, you know, Africans in America were conditioned and Africans in Africa were conditioned. It's totally different, and we're taught to hate each other. And we really got to acknowledge the similarities. And, you know, any problems within our differences that we have, let's create solutions, not just say, okay, we have these problems, so we can't connect. Because if you keep saying can't, then it can't happen. I feel like a lot of the power that we have comes from our tongue. It comes from mindset. You gotta build a mindset of, you know, unity can happen before execution can happen. If you don't have the mindset that execution can happen, execution won't happen. Don't just live in an idea of concept and looking cool. You know, actually live it. Believe in it. In everything. So that's where I stand. And I, you know,
right.
when I go around different people, that's how I am.
You're basically on the same page with me. I feel like love is just the answer. And you know your people when you see them. Before they open their mouth, you already know that that's your people. Why
exactly.
not love no matter what? They decide to do it themselves. As long as it doesn't hurt people, and it hurts you. Why can't I love you just the same?
Right.
Why can't I want for you what I want for me? Love for self means a whole lot of things other than just your own body. And that's what black people need to. And I think we are coming around. Because like I said before, I grew up and was raised in Philly. And what I'm seeing on a positive note that's happening out here, and not just in Philly, like globally what I'm seeing happen, like I do believe that we're connecting the dots and we are getting better. I believe our next generation, and there's a lot of negative things going on as well, but I feel like even now before when I'm looking across the country, we're reconnecting the dots again, I believe. So as long as we could, I think the biggest problem in all types of relationships is respect, honesty, and communication. If you apply those three to any type of relationship, then everything should be okay. So we got love for self, we respect each other, and we communicate ourselves properly. We could solve a lot of problems just with that. But love is like the biggest thing. You have to have love for yourself. And not just your own, yourself, meaning whoever you're related to, whether it be direct bloodline or descendant.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we live over here. You understand? Y'all already know that. You understand? And if you don't know, for the listening audience, if you're brand new, now you know. You know, we have people from all different spiritual and political, social, economic backgrounds here on Do Knowledge Radio, and we, you know, offer the platform to them regardless, because someone in the midst of their conversation is going to be able to glean something from their experiences, or, you know, their community work, their outreach work, or whatever the case may be. You see what I'm saying? So this is a grand unifying space over here. You see what I'm saying? So we don't allow, you know, people to come and disrespect somebody's way of life, because you're disrespecting somebody's way of life. You see what I'm saying? Generationally, it's connected to their family. It's connected to their bloodline. It is their bloodline. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, there's many pathways, like you were saying, like in regards to, you know, what we do. So we take a holistic approach, and that approach of respect. You see what I'm saying? So, regardless of their, you know, belief system, we allow them a space here to express themselves in a way that's edifying. You see what I'm saying? And you know, kind of preface them to talk about, you know, these particular benefits. You see what I'm saying? And also, you know, what your particular, you know, way of life is doing. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we done had people from all different type of walks of life, you know, come on the platform and, you know, express their views, and also, you know, express, you know, their benefits and, you know, some of the challenges. I believe that, that divide that goes along, you know, with Africans here in the Americas and Africans on the continent, is that we don't know each other's story. We don't know how many, you know, people that walk around and say, okay, you know, we're Garveyites. You see what I'm saying? Garveyites went to Liberia. You understand what I'm saying? Garveyites went to Liberia, and they had been in Liberia and places like Sierra Leone since Garvey's time. You understand what I'm saying? And even to the effect that they came back here to Chicago 1967 and got some Israelites that wanted to go to Israel, and they made it possible for them to go from Chicago to Liberia and from Liberia to Dimona, and they've been there for 50 years. You see what I'm saying? So what kind of divide do we have based upon religion? You see what I'm saying? What was created after that was, you know, anti-African sentiments of divide based off people who stayed versus people who left. You see what I'm saying? So systematically, in a situation where you had Africans here in the Americas through whatever means possible and available, a situation to where they were economically supporting the liberation of West Africa from 57 to 70. You see what I'm saying? Oh, where did this happen before? You know, when we were brought here in the Americas, it was brothers and sisters that was coming from the continent to North and South America, and that was fighting for our, you know, for our liberation. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of the stories have not been told. So, you know, to the defense of some of the people that was misguided, we was misguided by the same type of pictorial images. You see what I'm saying? So if it wasn't National Geographic, you understand what I'm saying? It was some miseducation within the school system. You see what I'm saying? So it's cross, you know, culturally, systematically removing key ingredients and elements in regards to make one side opposing and the other side opposing. You see what I'm saying? Negative connotations and negative self-talk in regards to a self-image that unifies us all. You see what I'm saying? So there's a deep-rooted psychosis in regards to, you know, some of these pictorial images and a lot of this misinformation that causes a divide, a cultural divide, a menticidal type of, you know, approach to how we see ourselves. And in turn, if we see ourselves a certain kind of way, this is the imagery that we project out and the energy that we project out onto the entire planet. And the enemies of our people benefit greatly economically, socially, and politically from the divide that exists between ourselves. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we don't allow those types of, you know, situations to happen here. And, you know, like-minded platforms, you know, of the same sort. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, through this positive reinforcement, through positive, education, through situations, you know, where which we, you know, exchange commerce, you know, we do business with one another on multiple levels, you know, we garner those and we break down those barriers in communication based off of, you know, what we're learning and what we're learning from one another to continue to move forward in a unified manner. You see what I'm saying? Because we all one family. And the essence and the epicenter of our foundation culturally is our family. You see what I'm saying? So if we wanted a spiritual system that, you know, Africans all over the planet can unify around, is our family. You see what I'm saying? We honor our ancestors, we honor our elders, we honor our peer group, and we honor our children. You see what I'm saying? So if we got, you know, around those particular principles rooted in that foundation, we would never have a situation where a divide would be caused because someone has a different belief system or someone has a different a political or social background, because family is our root. You see what I'm saying? And from that root is the fruit, and our fruit is family. You see what I'm saying? So it's family through and through. So we wouldn't have a discord or a divide. We would have more love and respect because we're walking together as family. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we just pushing that mind frame across through our media platform here on Do Knowledge Radio and others like it. You see what I'm saying? A liberation mindset, you know, through media, through collaborative efforts and collaboration to promote unity versus competition, to promote collectivism over individuality. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, you always welcome here, Francis. So whenever you ready to come tell your story, even though you didn't gave us, you know what I'm saying, you gave us a whole lot. You see what I'm saying? We'll be here to support you as well, to support your clothing line, to support, you know, Get Live and everything that you're doing, your endeavors. You see what I'm saying? So I thank you for calling in, Queen Letts. I thank you for your time. You see what I'm saying? Just a couple of more things I wanted to ask you before I let you go. I know we're getting close to that time, and I want to make sure that you get the opportunity to share some more of your jewels. Appreciate you, Francis, for calling in, brother. Black love to you.
Amen.
Peace.
Shout out. Look at this. Look at the mother. She really is the mother of revolution. Y'all hear that? You see that revolution? They love that. Extend out, you know, folks calling from around the planet to get that shout out to Queen Lex. You see what I'm saying? I'm on it over here. You see what I'm saying? We got a whole story within the story right here. You see what I'm saying? And another movement. You see? So that's Queen Lex right there. I wanted to talk to you. I couldn't let you go without talking about the wonderful revolutionary babies you have. You see what I'm saying? How did you, you know, get started with this implementation process of, you know, rearing up these beautiful Black Power babies that you have? And what kind of advice could you give to, you know, some of the sisters and the brothers out here that are listening? You know, got into this particular information now. It's like, you know, how do I start the process of implementation within my family?
One of my biggest things is treating my children how I want it to be treated, and trying not to pass down a lot of the damages that was done with our elders. And that's no insult, because they did the best they could do. But what we can do as parents is try to, if we notice a mistake or if we see that it's creating damage, try not to do that to our own children and try to show them a better way and in a loving way. Also, I try to teach my children about positive things about Black people as much as I can. Every time I find out something positive about Black people, I tell my children about it. I also feed their dreams. So whatever it is that they want to do and want to be, I feed that. I fuel that. I support them. The best thing that I could say to parents about education is educate them yourself. Even if you have to send them to school and that's your only option, don't leave it on the school system to educate your children by themselves. There are positive things that can come out of a brick building, but there's also a lot of mentally damaging things that comes out of that. So we shouldn't leave our children exposed and hanging on to that type of information. We need to be teaching them from home as well. And even before they hit that brick building, they need to be being taught from home. If you can, if it's within your power, I believe homeschool is the best, but that's only if you have a life situation that's set up for that. I've talked to lots of mothers about wanting to let go of the job and how do I survive economically with homeschooling and things like that. And if your finances are not to where you're comfortable enough to stay home with your children and pay your bills, I would just say if you have to send them to school, send them, but don't depend on school education only. They have to have other sources of knowledge. I don't see why it is a lot of us come home, and I understand we're tired and things like that, but you turn on the TV and you let the kids watch YouTube videos of their choice and movies of their choice, and education should always be something that's continued. It can be made fun, but it should always continue. If they get, and I saw this documentary about how long an average American watches TV. It's 6 hours a day. So even if you let them watch these movies every day, throw in a math video. Throw in, you know, something educational about Black people in there. Find a new inventor. Find something changing the world. Just throw things in there. Anytime you come across something on your phone, because we see it on Facebook, we see it on Instagram, Twitter, people throw Black facts in there that you never heard of. Go research it, see it, and share it with your kids. That's them. Stop depending on these educational systems to give your children all of their education. And develop that love. Love them, accept their love, and tell them and always guide them to love their people. So we gotta see ourselves in a better light. We're always told the negative things about ourselves by everybody in the world. We need more positive and motivational influences, and not to only expose ourselves to the freedom fighters. We need to expose ourselves to every black person we can that's making a positive change and difference in this world.
I agree. I mean, everybody has a, you know, a supporting cast, a supporting system around them. So, as you heard me say before, the reason why I love Malcolm and Elijah and Marcus and, you know, Betty Shabazz is because I love my mother and my father. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, your story begins at home. You have an amazing story. You see what I'm saying? You have an amazing story that's unique unto you, and a part of a collective story that is unique unto us. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, like the story of your birth, you know, sometimes I tell the story of my birth and I could see, you know, tears in the eyes of people. You understand what I'm saying? Like the conditions of my birth, the story of my birth in the first year of my life. If my mother didn't tell me that birth story, you know, I just figured I had a birth story like everybody else. You understand? I did have a birth story like everybody else, but unlike anybody else in my family. You see what I'm saying? And everybody had their birth story. There's a birth story. There's a story to your birth. There's the conditions of, you know, labor and all of, you know, those things. These are blessings. These, you know, these are oral traditions that should stay within, you know, the framework of the family. Your naming ceremony, why your name is your name. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, these are all things that we once did that we should return to. We should reestablish these things as a part of, you know, a curriculum within our households to develop that sense of pride, to be fortified, so you know, they don't have to go to look for heroes and sheroes outside of the family first. You know, it's all right to identify, you know, with particular, you know, heroes and sheroes along the way, but your heroes and sheroes should be manifested within, deeply rooted within your family dynamic. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, those things begin a process of having an understanding and learning about your family. And, you know, some of the things that's most shameful to many of our households is that, that, you know, connection of the family not being unified or not, you know, not knowing about one particular side of the family or the other. You see what I'm saying? And many of the travesties and atrocities that have been associated with our families, you know, as of late, you see what I'm saying? You know, with the family secrets and all of that, you see? So it's time for a reconciliating type of energy, a reformative type of energy. You know, Dr. Kunti always called it the renewal of the mind, you know. So, you know, a lot of these things are taking place and a lot of, you know, our people are, you know, becoming identity conscious instead of, you know, furthering an identity crisis. So, you know, it's thanks to, you know, Queen Mothers like yourself and a whole Warrior Center task force in the spirit of love and, you know, black love and black power and black unity. I remember that was the chant. That was the Queen Lex. I knew Queen Lex was in the building. You know what I mean? It was black love, black power, and black unity. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, it's a resounding thing that, you know, we felt in our heart. But that call to action is a call and response. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just a response in a vocalization, but in a lifestyle, you know. And, you know, you are an example and an epitome of this particular lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? And it's evident not only in yourself, but in your children and in everyone that is around you and in your circumference. You know what I mean? I want to thank you for being a billboard and giving us, you know, folks who are in Philly or wherever you go, you know, a tour into, you know, the world and the mind of Queen Lex, one that's one of a support, you know, one that is, you know, giving a commercial wherever you go. Oh, y'all, I'm in this store. You know, I'm here with the owner. Blah, 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 blah. Tell us, you know, where we can find you. It's just so edifying to know that, you know, we have sisters out here, we have brothers out here that are, you know, seeking to, you know, cooperate collaboratively, you know, with business owners and giving them the opportunity to be able to, you know, give them some free advertisement. You see what I'm saying? So many obstacles in regards to supporting the black business and the life and the livelihood of the you know, the shelf life of a black business, you know, is, you know, 10 years. You see what I'm saying? So if they're not around for 10 years, you know, and they're, you know, there's so many hurdles and obstacles that they had to go through in order to be around for 10 years. And they, you know, the business, the larger business community don't expect them to be around that long. You see what I'm saying? So if you got like a black and Nobel that's been around for 20 years, you know, imagine all of the obstacles, even with all of the opportunities that they have provided. So many, you know, children have grown up in that, you know, in that particular, you know, black institution. You see what I'm saying? And you know, now they bring their children. You understand what I'm saying? To be in a situation of detriment. You see what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's going according to plan for the larger business community. So when we got, you know, sisters like Queen Lex out here, you know, ensuring that this message gets out and that we know what's going on in Philly. You see what I'm saying? You know, our Black Witness News over there in Philly letting us know what's going on. You see what I'm saying? We appreciate it. I appreciate it, you know, really solemnly and sincerely, because it gives a you know, sheds a light in a place where, you know, mainstream media won't go unless it's some type of profiting situation. You know, Black Death is profitable in the United States. You see what I'm saying? It's a number one cash crop in America. You know, Black Death. Mm-hmm. You know, despite all these other things that they tell you that they're selling, you know, on the stock market, nah, it's still us. It's still us, collectively, individually, wherever, and by whatever means possible and available. You know, Black Death is a cash cow in America. So we're seeking to combat that. And in that process of combating that, we know we're doing something that is against the law. You understand what I'm saying? It's against the law of nature for us not to act, but it's against the laws of their artificial nature because they can't profit off our death. You see what I'm saying? So I wanted to give you some time to share your thoughts with the family. Any final thoughts, any acknowledgments, any shout outs, anything, any message of empowerment from Queen Lex? You have the floor, and let everybody know how to get in contact with you, how to support your endeavors, and all of that good stuff. Got the floor.
Okay, so I just want to say, for the most part, family is the most important thing that will support our survival. And I don't mean family as in direct bloodline. I mean people who look like you, who are your descendants, who are related to you down far, far, far in the bloodline somewhere. We need to build family with each other. Yes, our inner home, your household needs to be dealt with first, but we need to understand that we all need to build each other like family. If all of us just found a community in whatever state or city you live in, and we controlled that whole community and we lived as a family, a lot of our financial problems would be resolved. The only thing that we would really have to be concerned with is paying the taxes to the land that we're sitting on. But if we had all of our black neighborhoods where we only live, black commerce, only where we live, medical system and everything where we live, because we know it's impossible to get the whole country of black people to move in one spot, but in Washington State, in Pennsylvania State, in New Jersey, if we just live as a community and as a family, we can dissolve a lot of these issues. Everybody wants to work with me. I'm in Philly, so you can always get with me on Facebook. Lex T is the name, L-E-X, with a space in the middle, C-H-I. My email is irielext@gmail.com. That's irielext@gmail.com. Or you can email me at thehelpforhome@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram at irielext. I'm also on Twitter at irielext. And I'm at most of the African functions around the city, so come by and chat with me. I'm always open to meet new family. So yeah, that's about it. Family is the number one thing that will help heal the Black community all over the place. Family is the most important thing. Family, family, family. If we all live in the village somewhere and did for self, we would never need anything from anybody else. Never. That's my message to my people. But until then, I'm up to do whatever I can do.
That's right. See, it wasn't that bad from Lex, was it? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that bad, you know? It wasn't that bad. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was cool.
It was cool. It's just that, you know, I'm Lex T, but I'm a little shy. I can't lie. I'm a little shy. But, you know, I just need a few minutes and then I'll be all right.
This is the lady who be dancing on camera. You know what I'm talking about. You know. The life of the party right here.
In the dark, though.
You said I had the light. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that rhythm of life, you know, that love of life, that celebration. You know what I mean? That energy, that spirit. If it wasn't you, I'd be side eye like, who that is? You understand what I'm saying? So if I didn't get like a Black love, Black power, Black unity, I had to listen to Kid. I was like, oh, okay, that's like, ain't nobody stole a phone and snuck in on the interview. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know.
You know, a lot of people box me in like as a really serious person. And I am a really serious person when it comes to really serious issues. But I had fun too. I'm still a human being. I still do things. I usually do things at home, though, so that's why you don't really see the fun stuff that I do that much. But I have fun, too. I do fun things.
You talking to me? You talking about me like I don't know? Look at you. Come on now. I'm glad that there's a beautiful balance that's there. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, it's expressive in what you do, and it's expressive in the beautiful children. You see what I'm saying? That high energy, that, you know, everything. It's a balance to everything. So, you know, it's exemplary.
You know what I want to say about them? They, I really didn't know how deep it was for them until the UNIA era, and they both came out publicly and spoke. At such a young age, it just brought tears to my eyes, and I was like, wow, I have revolutionary children. It wasn't
That's
even
right.
apparent at that moment. I was just like, wow, look at my baby. It's just the most, I can't even tell you the word, feeling that I've ever had, because I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. So now I know. Now I know. Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. Let them wonderful children speak, you know, allow them to be celebrated. They have a message. It's like, you know, Francis was saying, you see, you know, and that's a contention I hold dear, you know. this, you know, this proposed gender war brings out those types of things of neglect in regards to the children. You see what I'm saying? Not allowing them their message to be heard by the world. You see what they profit off of that. You see what I'm saying? They can exploit our children. You see what I'm saying? They can take their intellectual properties and call it science fair. You understand what I'm saying? They can take these their intellectual properties and call it essays and give them grades in class. You understand? But they will never, ever, you know, create a system, a reward system that rewards the intellectual genius of the African mind like we can as a collective. You see what I'm saying? So if we got a punishment system, we have to have a reward system. You see what I'm saying? So we have to, you know, get back culturally aligned with those ideas and, you know, continue to move forward. You see what I'm saying? So as long as we got Queen Lex and, you know, the Philly RBG All-Stars in the building, you know what I mean, we're going to continue to move forward in the best manner. So shout out to you, Black Love, Black Power, Black Unity, to you, Mother of the Revolution, Queen Lex. Thank you for stopping in. Thank you for stopping by. Hopefully it won't be your last time. You understand what I'm saying? Did you mention how the folks get the food before we go? Did I see the menus and all the stuff all the time? You know what I'm saying? Can we get that before we go?
usually I'll post up where I'm going to be. I do catering for people who need food specifically for their event. So the best way to get in touch with me 267-589-0539. That's 267-589-0539. And the email again is irelexchi. The name of the business is irelexchi. So irelexchi@gmail.com and lexchi on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So if you need that, catering services or just a family dinner prepared, I do these services where you buy the food, you can pay me just to cook it. Only thing is I don't add all this extra stuff like everybody else. The food is naturally good. It's always fresh as I buy it. I don't use any processed foods or anything like that. It's cooked in a very much so more healthy way than you would get at your average store. And I think that's the benefit of also, with whatever support that you give, I always give back to the community. So,
that's right.
Support somebody else around me. If you need any dinner services or anything like that, you can give me a call or email. Other than that, I normally post where I'm going to be at. I'm going to get in contact with me for the Friday night dinner. I'll wait for the holidays to blow over and everybody to get their financial situations back in order. Because a lot of us
right.
don't do that.
Right.
You know, I'll be back on Fridays very soon. Also, a lot of us were talking about community feeding. I don't care what organization that you're under. I'm always down to do community feed. So you can hit me up for that as well.
So there you go. If you can't cook or don't want to cook or can't cook or don't want to cook or can't cook or don't want to cook, and if you got something where you're inviting over people that you love and you can't cook or you don't want to cook, make sure you holler at Queen Lex. You understand what I'm saying? So make yourself look like a hero, look like a champion, and one of the greatest referrals in business for our people is word of mouth. Like, oh, who made this food? Oh, Queen Lex. Oh, make sure you hit her up. You understand what I'm saying? So if you find value in the, you know, meals that are prepared by a sister, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to get it from Queen Lex. You understand what I'm saying? Because people who can't cook, you know, they often roll in packs. You understand? So it might be like 50 of y'all who can't cook. You understand? Or 50 of y'all who don't want to cook. So y'all can get that business to our sister and she can help you out. You understand? She can help you out. So.
Right, and I also want to kill the rumor that Black people don't support Black people. I'm going to tell you that 99% of the people who support me are Black people. So let's kill that rumor. Let's kill that rumor. So the only reason why I'm here, and I got to say thank you to everybody who supports me. Thank you, Brother Knowledge. I'll never forget about you ever. The platform you provide for everybody and the donations and things like that. But I am only here because of the support of Black people. So let's stop saying Black people don't support Black people. And so
right.
I give back out of love, and you support me out of love. And I thank everybody who supports me and who they continually support me, supporting me. And this all happened by an accident, and it happened. Maybe it's not an accident. Maybe it wasn't supposed to happen, right? But
that's
it wasn't
right.
planned. It just happened. And it was from word of mouth. So I haven't done any big promotions other than just posting something on Facebook. I haven't done anything promotional, and it's just the support. So thank you to everybody who's continuously supporting me by purchasing food, sharing the post, shouting me out, helping me out. I've had people come help me out at events when my help didn't show up. So it's just, I got mad love for people. And I just want to thank everybody for that.
That's what I'm talking about. So make sure y'all hit up Queen Lex for your catering, your dietary and your wellness needs over here. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to get up out of here. Peace and love to everybody. We're going to end it off with our sister Sue Chris. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all shout out Sue Chris. You know what I mean? And support our sister. You know what I mean? One of them Philly RBG All-Stars. Thanks to Queen Lex. You know what I'm saying? Thanks to KLX and everybody out there. Ron Green. You know, that's my brother. I call him Dr. Ron Green when I talk to him on the phone. You see what I'm saying? Dr. Green. You see what I'm saying? So many amazing things happening. So many amazing things on the horizon. And if you like what you heard, subscribe to the show here at www.blogtalkradio.com/DoNowsRadio. That's DoTakNowledRadio. Check us out on YouTube, Do Knowledge Radio on YouTube. You can follow the show on Twitter, at Knowledge115 on Twitter, and also on Instagram, Knowledge1Alive357. Shout out to our special guest, by special request, Queen Lex. Go follow her on the social media sites and tell a friend to tell a friend to support this Black institution of Black excellence for Black unity and Black power. We out of here.
Peace. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Work hard.